Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
We are thrilled again to be joined by Patton Oswalt, who is here in town with his family. And, you know, we're grabbing him before he gets out to L.A., and we could not be happier. When do you head back home, Patton? When are you getting out of the city?
Well, Mike, I'm glad you buttonholed me before I caught the last flight to the coast. But, you know,
thanks so much. Appreciate it.
A lot of stuff's happening back there. I'm talking to Merv later on today. But a lot of stuff going on. I mean, where do I start? Where do I begin?
Everybody.
Hey, Oscar, you have any more of those diet pills? Those were great. I love those diet pills. Those were pretty fantastic. Oh, diet pills. God. I like them.
Eat them like yeah, it's, you know, I don't know why this comes to mind, but when I was reading recently about Gary Shandling, and I was reading all the things said about Gary Shandling, and, you know, they say how rare it is, and I've always thought that, you know, I never got a chance to meet him. Maybe one time back in the day, we were on stage doing the DJ MC for a live show he did, but it was a handshake and that was it. But hearing how nice a guy he was and how wonderful he was and just how he treated everybody, there is, and I just want to give you a compliment because, you know, everything you've ever done, when you come into the studio, when you're nice to us and you're polite to us. And that is something that I think that I got that from hearing about Shandling, where he reached out. It was very sweet that you did that. I thought of you when I heard, because I said, that is rare. And I've interviewed tons of people in the business of comedy throughout my career. And I'm not in the comedy clubs. You are. You see the way these guys, there is a lot that goes on in there where people, just the very nature of the business itself, of stand-up comedy, it's kind of a prickly environment. And I never knew that about Gary Shandling, that apparently behind the scenes, he was an incredibly nice person. Did you have any personal contact with him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he moderated, he did a Q&A with me one night for a young adult. He graciously said, oh, I'll totally moderate that. He really liked the movie and wanted to help it out. we had done a lot of shows together, and I would see him. I mean, I saw him a month before he died. I did a show at the Largo, a benefit show that he just showed up at to hang out at. He didn't even do a set. So it was like me and Judd Apatow, and backstage, like Norman Lloyd and Norman Lear came backstage, and Chris Rock and Sarah Silverman, and there was Gary Shandling. And Gary Shandling, he was a really, really nice guy, and what was so miraculous about that for me is he was really, really smart about comedy. Like, he was just one of those guys that always knew the best angle. And a lot of times, people like that tend to be very prickly and mean, only because their whole life are people telling them how to do comedy that shouldn't be. Like, comedy is one of the few professions where people have no problem just walking up, you know what I think would be funny? Like, they'll walk up to someone that, like, I wouldn't walk up to an expert bricklayer building a wall going, you know how I would put the, like, I would just assume this guy has 10 years experience. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to watch him. But for some reason, comedy, everyone thinks they, and he was never mean to people about that, you know? That's cool. By the way, he was
wonderful.
Not only was he smarter than any layman, he was smarter than most comedians. So there was very few people that could kind of, and not that he was a competitive about it, but it was just hard to hold your own with him because he was always so ridiculously smart. That's what was miraculous about him.
I get the impression that he was also very generous, because when you look at the Gary Shandling, the Larry Sanders show, he's probably the third best character on it. Well, but he made the other characters better than him, laugh-wise.
He, Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and the Pythons were all about every single person in this. They would fight to get every single person a funny line so that the whole thing was at this higher pitch. And you can tell there are certain comedians and sitcom actors, and I've just heard stories where they're like, no, I got to have that line. No, that line's got, like, they've got to be the only one with a funny line. And if you watch Veep, and if you watch old Seinfeld, and especially Larry Sanders, they're like, no, crank everyone around me up. and then I'll think of a funnier thing to say. Or here's the other thing that he would realize. If you watch half of Larry Sanders is him just reacting in silence to people.
Yeah.
Because what they're saying is so nuts. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And that is so, that always gets a big laugh. Like, the Pythons would always fight to be the straight man in a sketch because the person reacting always got the bigger laugh. Oh, they were
wow.
the beginning
that is
of
such
the laughter.
A great thing. So, I love that. I love
but
that.
And same with, like, when I did some episodes of Veep, and I saw this firsthand after we would do table reads and then we would rehearse and mess around days before we would shoot it. And Julia would get with the writers and go, his line's got to be funnier. That's got to be like she wanted everyone cranked up. So
wow.
that any in other words, there's no parts of the show that are like, oh, these two characters, I don't care. You know,
right.
She wants every bit of it cranked up.
And they talk about, you know, I just remember on the old Don and Mike show where that Larry Sanders show was such a big part of what we would talk about on the show. It would be every week we would come in and we would be discussing that. I had a restaurant in Manhasset, Don called it the Look Around Cafe. And I remember that. You know, I mean, we were talking about that the other day, and it was groundbreaking. I didn't realize it was groundbreaking until he passed, and then I thought, oh, my God, that's right. That's what The Office was doing.
Yeah.
It was the same exact thing.
It must have been very surreal for you guys, especially, because I've said this before. You guys had one of the first shows, you guys, and then also Glenn Brenner, where you were very open about showing us behind the scenes or like sometimes this job sucks. We're having a terrible day. Nothing's happening. You know,
sure.
Glenn Brenner would get on and go, there was a hockey game. I hate hockey. Here's some highlights. I don't care. This is stupid. You know, sometimes my job sucks. So
right.
It must have been really, really stunning and also gratifying for you to see a show about showbiz where they're showing you that a lot of times it's just petty and childish and just the lamest crap. And you're like, oh my God, I thought we were the only guys that did that. Like that, you know, so in other words,
that's why we tracked with it. Yeah.
Like I remember I was still doing open mics and barely emceeing, and I was seeing petty, childish. But in my mind, I'm like, when I get my own show, like, I'll be above all that. And then you watch Larry Sanders go, oh, no, it doesn't end. It stays that. Everyone is that damaged. Everyone is that awful. But you can still. But then on top of all that, he would show you that there were some real human relationships there where they would kind of like that thing where they were forcing him to do the advertising on the show.
The garden.
And he didn't want to do it. And then Hank weirdly saves him.
Yeah.
Because Hank is like, I'm good at something awful. Like, I actually can make this work. And then it was so human and real.
I don't want to look at your car again.
Yeah.
I remember that. He was so exasperated during that whole show.
The other thing that was really stunning about that show is they would do the stuff in between the on-air segments when Robin Williams is sitting there being funny and goofy and they cut to commercial and it's like,
oh, yeah.
Do you think that? I think people are getting sick of this.
Right.
You see those moments.
Behind the curtain.
Right. And then you see Larry just like, I'm supposed to care, but I kind of don't. Like it was just half of this business is just killing time. It made me laugh so hard.
I don't know that. How awkward is it when you are going to commercial? I've never asked anybody about that. When you're on a talk show set, I'm sure it varies with different hosts, but I would imagine it's never 100% comfortable, is it? I have no experience.
It does depend on the host. When I did David Letterman, I only did it once, but I did my stand-up set, and he came out and shook my hand, and as I said, thank you. He was already turning away. Like he was,
mechanical then, almost. Yeah.
Yeah. But then like.
Known for that too, right?
Yeah,
exactly. He was known for that.
Well, it wasn't that he was a mean guy. He just made very few friends. So you could tell the people that he was genuinely friends with. Like when a Bruce Willis came on or a Regis, he's like, oh, this guy, they actually hang out. You can tell.
Right.
You know, this is a continuation. Like when I do Conan and I actually hang out. So we are actually, in fact, we're actually talking about stuff as we're leading into commercial that we'd way rather be talking about on air, but we can't because we're bitching about something or, you know.
And one of the best eulogies for, if you want to call it that, for Gary Shandling that I heard was one of the most beautiful talks I think I've ever heard anybody give about the passing of someone was what Conan said about Gary Shandling and how he helped him through that. That was just so incredibly heartfelt. I mean, it doesn't lie when you're looking at that.
Yeah, and he just and Gary Shandling did for a lot of stand-ups, and it's hard for us to put it into words. He showed us what could be done not just with the form of stand-up, but with that awkward transition of how do I develop a stand-up act and then turn it into a TV show, mm-hmm. but still keep the innovation and the fun of it? Because a lot of times there was that fear of I'm gonna work really hard and then get a sitcom and then they're gonna cut everything unique off of me. Mm-hmm. And Gary was like, I'm offering you guys strategies to get around that and do something really cool. You know, wonderful. Like with It's Gary Shandling show was constantly
mm-hmm. Oh, the wink at the audience, constant. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and then with Larry Sanders, so like it was this, you can always keep your identity while you do this.
Wow.
And I'll show you how to do it. It was just, and I think that's what Conan was also talking about, was he's doing this, he wasn't a name at that time when he took over his show, and then he's how do I keep, because Conan has a ridiculously unique perspective on comedy, and that could easily get bulldozered, and he found a way with help from friends like Gary Shandling to keep that intact.
Well, it's nice to hear what we hear about that, and what a great perspective that is. Last before we go to break, I wanted mm-hmm. to, you know, you do with movies and where you're with a group of people and the work is incredibly intense for a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that different than on a series? I will tell you how radio works, and I think a lot of show business works when we're talking about relationships, that it's very difficult to kind of look backwards. You really, yeah. by the very nature of the business, you are in a forward situation all the time, and it's tough to really maintain relationships. Does that, in movies, I would think it would be a little different, or short-term projects, like a comedy tour. I would imagine
right.
it would be easier to keep those relationships alive. Like, you know, I would, you know, I don't know. I mean, do you move on and just move on? Or do you have relationships that last a long time? I think of Zach Galifianakis, who toured with you, you know, before he exploded. And, you know, do you maintain relationships, or is it hard to do that even if you're with somebody for a short period of time?
You know what's really weird? It wasn't hard to maintain relationships even when people like Zach exploded and Sarah and people like that, because we still meet as comedians all the time. And also, no matter how big you explode, you always want people around you, at least if you're down to earth, you want people around you that can call you on your BS.
Mm, right.
That it keeps you from spiraling off into insanity if you just have people around you that are trying to impress you and are terrified of you.
Right.
What makes it hard to...
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah,
thanks, Rob. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, trust me, you guys are always going to pull each other down into the porta-potty. There's no...
Thank you. Yeah. But I should point out that every relationship I've had with someone who's no longer here, I must be honest, I pray for their imminent death. That is it. Let's take a break. Let's take a break.
Wow.
We'll come back.
This is the theme to Gary Show. The theme to Gary Show. Gary called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. I'm almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far? How do you like the theme to Gary Show? This is the theme to Gary Show, the opening theme to Gary Show. This is the music that you hear as you watch the credits. We're almost to the part of where I start to whistle. Then we'll watch It's Gary Shandling Show. This was the theme to Gary Shandling Show.
Would you welcome Gary Shandling?
But you never get over that uneasiness in a new relationship. We went out, we go to dinner, and have you guys ever accidentally ordered from the child's portion of the menu? Because it's not, well, you know where it says under 12, and it's not always clearly separated, and the waitress comes over, and I go, yeah, she'll have the lobster Newberg, and I'll have Captain Andy's toddler platter, please. Oh, and I'm going, gee, I didn't see that. Well, do any of these others come with the sailor hats? And then I had read that women like the little boy quality in a man, you know, so I'm chewing up my food and going, I'm sitting on a booster chair thinking, I'm going to score. And then I realized I was shouting that out. And so I get her home, right? Lower the lights. I put on We Are the World, figuring this would put her in the giving mood. All she got was hungry, which does me no good whatsoever. So now I'm on the couch, and a friend of mine said, try oysters. You know about these? These are supposed to be very stimulating sexually. I tried those, boy, but the shells scratch so bad. I don't know. Am I putting them on too soon? What's the deal? you know, I'm starting to get, we got a pearl. And I'm not kinky sexually whatsoever. Occasionally I like to put on a robe, you know, and stand in front of a tennis ball machine. But we all have our own thing, you know, take a few fast ones, have a cigarette. But we all have our own thing. So we're spawning, and it's not a pretty story, and she's talking in bed, which is normally a turn-on. I mean, but she's talking to the point where I had to say, hey, hang up the phone, and pay a little attention to me, you know. I'm trying to concentrate, hoping she's using a credit card, God knows, and we spawned. It's going great. We're spawning. And you know, it's awkward. Because the last girl I made love to, you know, I said, was it good for you? She said, you know, I don't think this is good for anybody.
TMOS Classic.
Big football weekend. Yeah, if I can bring it up right now.
Please.
The announcing. Okay. I know that I'm going to be in the minority here when I talk about Tony Romo. I don't know if somebody gave him an extra energy drink yesterday or what. I don't know if it's because I wasn't really happy with the fact that the Buffalo Bills were losing and I just had it in my mind. Listen, I'm not a turbo fan of either team. Was I rooting for the Bills
yes.
because of Matty Maciello and because of Jimmy Cerrito? Yes. But at the same time, I really don't have a dog in the fight as far as my team. But man, it sounded like those announcers were pretty giddy about Kansas City and not as giddy. I might just have been hearing that.
Well,
but it was
why don't we ask a true fan in Matty Maciello, just briefly,
Matty,
before we get
into
it.
I thought they sounded like they were homers for Kansas City.
Oh, Tony Romo totally wants to get in Patrick Mahomes' pants. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was
so
pissed the whole time. And it's
Thank
been
you.
Like that the whole season for the most
Thank
part.
You.
And that
Thank
being
you.
Said.
I knew I was right. I knew I was right.
Even though they knew by the time their game started that Brady was going back to his 35th Super Bowl, and that should be enough to get Jim Nantz very, very excited. We had a brief text exchange that when we saw the two announcers before the game, right. Nance looked Pat Summerall old. The
yeah,
way he
really,
was sitting.
Well, he's look, this is what happens. The skin ages, okay? You probably can't see it with this camera.
Right.
You'll see it soon with this camera. Won't we see it soon? Are we ever going to get the camera down here?
Oh, absolutely.
Do that? Okay.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
The thing about guests in the guests. Camera.
Yeah.
I'm pointing. If you saw the way I'm pointing at the screen. Hey, the thing about it is that Nancy is a great announcer. Joe Buck's a great football announcer,
yes.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Aikman was even a little yappy on the championship games, but nobody, but Tony Romo
was
like he had too many energy drinks. It was ridiculous. I know I'm repeating myself. I'm not getting Alzheimer's. I know I said that before. It just was on and on and on. And look, I don't think that it's just my opinion, and I'm very, very excited for the fact, not to take Tom Brady out of the equation, that Tampa is going to the Super Bowl in Tampa. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
that
that's great for you.
Well, why? Because I live in Florida. Is that what
I would be excited if I was. I can't go to the game, but I'd be excited.
Yeah, if the Super Bowl had been an only, he'd be out of his mind.
You get the fever. You get the Super Bowl fever. You're Super Bowl town.
Well, speaking of fever, since it's in Florida, they're going to have double the capacity of the stadium. They're actually going to have a two stadiums set up. So not only will it be everybody gets to come,
yes,
because it's Florida, run by the guy that doesn't believe in science, and everybody gets to come.
How many will be at the commissioner's party, Mike?
40,000.
Oh, excellent. It's a super spreader event.
40,000 licking each other's hands.
In
gonna be
defense that tastes good, Mr. Goodell.
Of the broadcast team.
Yes.
The game for the I would say it was the third and fourth quarter.
Are we talking about the first game or the second game?
I'm talking about the first game. Like the Bills, right?
All right.
No, Bills was the second game.
Bills was the second game. The first game was the Tampa game.
It was the Battle of the Bays,
Mike.
Green and Tampa.
The first game.
Green
first
Bay,
game.
Tampa.
Right.
All of a blur. When I was watching the game, I felt like, you know, I was rooting for the Bills. I was really, because I felt, some sort of association, as you said, with Matty and Jimmy.
Right.
Where you're like, oh, at least let this happen for them, please, for the love of God. And then, like, it just, the Bills weren't playing as well as we thought they could play. Mm-hmm. And they're being outplayed. And at that point, Mike, you know this from baseball, when it's not really a game at certain points, you got to fill the time.
Yeah, so, but I mean, it wasn't a total blowout. I mean, it was still
no,
competitive.
I mean, we were what, one onside kick and two touchdowns and a field goal away from maybe tying the game.
Did you say we? Did you use
the Bills,
the sports
Bills,
we? The Bills. That's
yeah,
a,
yeah. If you're rooting
you know,
for the
no,
Bills.
It was a great game. There were a couple of great games. The great games in the championship because the teams were relatively closely matched. No, not Kansas City and Buffalo are not closely matched.
Well, I think on paper going in, they were closely matched, weren't they?
No, yeah, but they were not. No, Kansas City is the favorite, as they will be in the Super Bowl, and they will win the Super Bowl.
Of course.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
I know we're going to have Nikki Diamond on.
This is your call.
I want to talk to Maddie just briefly about Josh Allen, because I follow the Bills, but I don't follow the Bills like you do. And Josh Allen is... I don't know. There probably are faster quarterbacks, but man, when he runs, he is so fast.
They call him White Lightning, Mike.
He's spectacular to watch. But as far as his face, I've never seen a baby-faced quarterback like this. Maddie, could you comment on the appearance of one Josh Allen?
Yeah, I mean,
of your Buffalo Bills.
He's my age. He's only like a few months older than I am, but the girls in Buffalo love him, I will say that. So the baby face doesn't bother me.
So they don't mind that sort of I am trying to grow a mustache.
No, I think it's filled in a little bit more than what it was.
And I've seen young men with he appears when you look at his publicity photo without the helmet that he may be one of those young men. I could be totally wrong about this. That is heading on a somewhat fast track to becoming follically challenged.
Oh,
like
no.
Yes, if you look at that, you know, I'll bring him up and see if there are any pictures of him. It looks like maybe, and they're guys that, when you've got that big mat of black hair that's kind of parted on the side and over there, it looks like maybe, I don't know.
Does the helmet cause that, though? Maybe, you know, too much.
I think the helmet
doesn't
help. If you
rub the helmet really hard a lot of times.
No, I think a lot of guys that wear helmets, that it speeds along.
Yeah, because you're pulling all the hair every time you take that thing off, I imagine.
Maddie, would you say the women of Buffalo have a relationship with him the way that Tony Romo has a relationship with Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, that's how I would sum it up.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. So what are your thoughts? Maddie, the biggest Buffalo fan, tell us what your thoughts are.
Well, for me, the biggest disappointment is just that we definitely could have played so much better. Like, it's one thing to lose, but then to not even do your best hurts. But my kind of silver lining is... like, I've dreamed my whole life of celebrating in Buffalo, you know, being at a crowded bar when we win the Super Bowl and everything. And that wouldn't happen this year anyway. So I would rather, you know, take a year or two, celebrate the way that we deserve to celebrate, not in a pandemic, you know, in a crowded bar.
That's good.
Not wearing masks.
Yeah,
that's what
attitude.
I'm looking for.
And a lot of Buffalo fans that I see online, they have such a great attitude towards the fact that they like where they are right now. They're poised for another great year, and that's a good place to be, right?
And it's a young team, so we definitely, you know, have
maybe next year
future.
He can grow a mustache.
Maybe.
By the way, I'll be rooting for Tampa, not just because they're Florida, and you might be surprised because I'm not a big Tom Brady fan, but I'll be rooting for Tampa just because I like to see the underdog win, and I really think that's going to be, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough because I think Kansas City is peaking, and there's nothing coming up on my computer when I type in, is Josh Allen bald? really nothing there, so it might just be me.
Mike, the Tom Brady storyline writes itself. The idea that we all mocked the idea that he was going to leave the master, Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And look, who's the master now?
And make some sort of run.
Who is the captain now?
We all mocked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't understand that, if you're looking at a true scoreboard and if you're looking at the history books, you're going to look back and be like, oh, maybe it was Tom the whole time.
Yeah,
right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now he's probably going to make a phone call, after that, even if they don't win the Super Bowl. I'd make the call now where Brady calls Bill Belichick and goes, yeah, so that was football. So we do everything on this show. Little sports, little celebrity. What is it? Okay, that's what it is. Every time I put my hand up to gesture, it gets blurred.
It throws it.
Yeah, we can throw the autofocus off if you'd like, but that's in the settings.
It's all right. I'll deal with it.
no gestures, Mike. No gestures.
He's still.
I was a little dehydrated over the weekend, and I got cramps. Thought I was stroking out.
Oh.
Hey, claws for hands at dinner. Anyway, we'll take a take a break. Come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.